This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We can't control what's happening over there. But we sure as heck should be aware of it.
Most of us who are conservative are not about big things. We're not about big government or obviously big labor. We're also not about big business or big tech. We're about the little guy.
It allows us to build that case, present it to the American people so they truly understand what these judges are doing. They are defying the Supreme Court. They're defying the law. They're choosing Somalians or Haitians over Americans.
Let's talk a little history. Little history story, shall we? Because I understand there were Democrat primaries last night, and you're probably looking on in horror or maybe even celebrating at the monsters who keep winning Democrat primaries. But let's rewind a bit. We talked about this before, but we could talk about this when it comes to the Bolsheviks. But we're actually going to make this about the Nazis, because most people don't realize this part of the rise of the Nazis, the National Socialists who eventually took over Germany, and kind of everybody gets the high points after that. After World War I, Germany, their currency was destroyed. The country itself, it had been just wiped out. Their young men had been wiped out. It is about, for a modern country, we're not talking third world, but for a modern civilized country, that's about as low of a point as you can possibly get. And not only that, there was no light at the end of the tunnel. They had these horrible war reparations they were forced to repay. It was really, really bad. And when you are down and out like that, when the people are down and out, desperate, wounded, they don't always land on the person or cause you want them to land on. So what was happening? Well, all kinds of groups, it wasn't just the Nazis, all kinds of groups were fighting and yelling and saying, I have the solution. All of the communists were a huge one. In fact, most of the communists who weren't butchered by the Nazis just changed uniforms and became Nazis. There were group after group after group after group after group. And what they were doing is giving speeches, walking into beer halls and telling people, I'll do this. This is wrong. I'll do this. This is wrong. Okay? Along comes Hitler. Hitler did not start the Nazi party. There were other people who were really the brain trust behind the Nazis. Hitler was a gifted speaker. Sucks, but he was an extremely gifted speaker. They saw him giving speeches. They recognized that and they said, hey, there's our face. There's our voice. And so Hitler goes around, he starts giving speeches, things like that. Well, the Nazis started to gain some power, but not a ton. And Germany, they have a legislature. Just think about Congress. Germany has a Congress. We'll use it that way. Germany has a Congress. And they have, like I said, a bunch of different competing factions in Germany at the time. When the Nazis, when they first started getting elected, do you know what percentage of Congress they had? 2%. If you looked at the United States House of Representatives today, I don't know, I don't have a calculator in front of me. It'd be like 10 people. Who cares about that? It's less than 10 people. If right now there were 7 Nazis in the House of Representatives, you wouldn't celebrate it, but you wouldn't stress about it, would you? It's 10 people. Big deal. Fast forward a few years later, they have everything. How does that happen? Well, we oftentimes make the mistake of thinking, especially when it comes to politics and political movements, that it's all about the numbers. Well, hey, we live in a representative republic, a constitutional republic. People vote for things. It's all about the numbers. All we need is more of this and more of that. Kind of, but that's not necessarily the whole truth. The truth is, who's the most committed? Whoever is the most committed the most committed faction of the political party, they will inevitably do the things they need to do to go from being a teeny tiny minority, 2%, to being a gigantic chunk of whatever country they're trying to take over. In the United States of America, there's been something going on for, I would call it 10 years. Barack Obama's the one who really got this train rolling. But then after he left, after he retired to the shadows, others have picked up the mantle and they've continued on. Now, what is happening? Well, these upstarts, these hardcore legitimate communists, most of them just flat out admit they're socialists, they're communists, they're Marxists. They started to win Democrat primaries. They started to challenge establishment Democrats, and they started to win Democrat primaries. And, you know, one of the first things that comes to mind, if we're looking backwards, is the Squad. Remember the Squad? Still kind of exists. AOC, Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Pressley, you remember the Squad. These hardcore communist types, all young women, and they walked into the House of Representatives, and you know what they were? Kind of a sideshow, a punchline. AOC says something dumb, we all point and laugh. Ah, ha, ha. Ayanna Pressley says something monstrous. We're like, oh, okay, who is this freak? Whatever. But the truth is, they were the most and are the most committed. You think Chuck Schumer's committed? You think Chuck Schumer really wakes and sleeps and all he thinks about is destroying the country? I mean, he's happy to destroy the country, but Chuck Schumer really only cares about himself. These types are committed, and the result of them starting, getting that little foothold, the little bridgehead in the House of Representatives, well, that's the reason so many gains have been made today by the communists inside the Democrat Party. Here is Ayanna Pressley flat out admitting it.
In 2018, when I was elected, I ran on an agenda that people tried to marginalize and radicalize. In 2018, I was calling for the abolishing of ICE. I was calling to cancel student debt. I was calling for Medicare for all. I was calling for radical criminal legal reform and ending qualified immunity. And, you know, those attempts to marginalize me were an attempt to marginalize a movement, an attempt to silence the voices of the most disenfranchised. But that movement has only multiplied.
Did you see who won the primary, the Democrat primary in Michigan last night? His name is Abdul El Said. Here he is.
ICE is not about immigration. ICE is not about the southern border. I was on nearly the northern border. ICE is about normalizing paramilitary force on our streets. I've been clear that you can't reform ICE. You can't retrain ICE. You have to abolish ICE.
Right now, if you're undocumented, you don't get access to a driver's license. So you're stuck. You don't get access to a lot of the basic things the state offers everybody else. And I think that's ridiculous. And so we've got to stop discriminating that way.
Rather than investing in a force of people who respond with guns and put people in jails, what if we were to take on systematic poverty by investing in the means of uprooting that poverty itself? And that means both investing more in these services, and it also means investing less in police.
I want you to remind them that if we come through this, when we come through this, inshallah.
Inshallah. That guy, there's a coin flip chance. That guy is about to be a United States senator. Not some no-name congressman representing some tiny district you've never heard of and will never visit. There's a chance that guy is about to be one of 100. Remember when we killed the Ayatollah? And look, no matter how you feel about the Iran war, the Ayatollah is a worthless piece of crap. Seems like kind of a gimme for any U.S. politician to come out and say, yeah, I'm glad he's gone. Yeah, here's Abdul El Said.
Thank you. This is going to destabilize the region. I also want to remind you guys that there are a lot of people in Dearborn who are sad today. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So, like, I just don't want to comment on Khamenei at all. Like, yeah. I don't think it's worth even touching that.
There are a lot of people in Dearborn, Michigan, who are sad today. What is happening right now should not be celebrated. We can enjoy that, yes, some of these candidates are so crazy They're going to cost Democrats election. There's no question about that. We can and should enjoy that. Okay, yes, enjoy it. But we should also understand that these people are on the rise. And they are on the rise because they are the most committed people in the party. And the effect it's going to have is not only them winning primaries, it is going to yank other Democrats, more established Democrats, to the left because they're trying to fend off their left flank and avoid getting a primary. Now, for instance, Dome and Pete Buttigieg, both of those two, both of them, they've made a lot of noise about running for president again. We assume one or both of them are going to get in. Now, you think they don't know that they have to win Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, things like that in order to be president? Of course they do. So why on earth are they publicly taking positions like this?
We need to revisit the Electoral College. We need to revisit the point of expanding the court to 13 justices like we have 13 district courts. We need to revisit, if they so want, statehood for Puerto Rico and D.C.
Yes.
If we regain control of the Senate, I served on this committee, the Senate Judiciary Committee, when I was in the Senate, only the second black woman elected to the United States Senate after Carol Moseley Braun. And the Senate Judiciary Committee has the power to create rules for its committee that don't have to go to the whole Senate for a vote and worry about filibuster and all.
You're keen to remove the Electoral College?
Yeah.
And do it based on numbers, the quantity of votes, yeah, for either presidential candidate?
And I still can't believe that anybody considers this radical. Like, to me, there's nothing radical about thinking the person who gets the most votes ought to be the winner. So yeah, Electoral College for sure. Supreme Court needs
Supreme
to change.
Court? What would you do to the Supreme Court?
I would have term limits, more justices, and some process that makes it less partisan who the justices are. Some different ways to do that. The one I think is most interesting is called the balanced bench proposal. We have a mix. But anyway, the point is it needs to change.
Yeah.
What's happening right now should not be ignored or dismissed. You or I may have ignored AOC back in 2018, but in 2028, just 10 years later, I'm telling you right now, she is a major player in the Democrat Party. Now, we can't control what's happening over there, but we sure as heck should be aware of it. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Speaking of which, this lady who might be the next governor of Wisconsin is a complete psychopath, and former governor of Wisconsin, Scott Walker, joins us next to discuss that. Before we discuss that with Scott Walker, let me discuss something with you. Let me discuss water. Isn't that boring? But you need it. Hopefully you drink plenty of it. I drink some. I don't drink enough. But I am aware, and it's on my mind, honestly, every time I drink water, I'm drinking estrogen. That's what's happened in our country now. We have synthetic estrogens in the water, and the result of that is it's killing the testosterone in men. It's awful. What are you going to do about it? You should be taking a male vitality stack from Jock. Natural herbal supplements. 20% increase in your T levels in 90 days without a needle in your arm. Go to chalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
You said Americans should cancel Thanksgiving, should have done this in 1621. The post has been deleted. Republicans have been highlighting it. Do you still believe that Thanksgiving should be canceled?
Thanksgiving is also a time that's incredibly painful for many people in our communities. And so I think there I wanted to make sure that people understood that there are multiple views, but views can evolve. I do believe right now in our Supreme Court that we should be working to expand the court.
Defund the police, protect Black lives, and build a care community. This is what we need.
That is in the service industry. We are finally having this conversation about, you know, how our industry really did come from it and kind of is rooted in white supremacy. That tipping in itself, if we look at the history of tipping and how racist it is.
In the restaurant industry, when we're out of something,
we say it's 86th, and I'd say it's about time we 86 Trump. He represents the utter failure of our government to keep us safe from threats, both viral and systemic.
I'm sad to tell you that that woman, from what I understand, is the front runner to become the next governor of Wisconsin, a state which I love so much. Joining me now, a man who knows a little something about running that state, former governor of Wisconsin, now president of the Young Americas Foundation, Scott Walker, of course. Okay, Governor, tell me these polls are lying to me, right? There's no way Wisconsin people are going to choose this psycho.
Well, I hope in the general that's not the case, but she's going to win the primary next week. There's no doubt about it. As crazy as those things are, you've got an electorate in the left, largely driven by young people that have gone dramatically, radically towards the left, embracing democratic socialism, even though we've seen it fail in places like Venezuela, even as we speak. But this is where the electorate is at on the left. And unfortunately, amongst swing voters, there's still enough TDS that the day after that primary, she'll probably be neck and neck with Tom Tiffany, the Republican running.
I hate to ask such a ham-fisted question, but I'm really curious. Who is she? Where did she come from? I mean, I try to pay attention to politics as part of my job. I've never heard of this woman before.
Well, she comes out of one of the more radical parts of the city of Madison, which in and of itself is radical. The two big cities in Wisconsin are Milwaukee, which is kind of a traditional blue-collar Democrat, but reasonable kind of area. I actually was the county executive there years ago before I was governor. And then there's Madison. Madison is so crazy that, you know, since 2016, there's been people with Bernie Sanders signs up because they didn't think Hillary Clinton was reasonable enough for their taste. So this shows you just how far left they are. And this plays well. But remember, it's not only young people in general out of the University of Wisconsin in particular that have moved that party on the other side far, far to the left. But there's a whole wave of younger voters, even early millennials, who are just frankly pissed off about the economy, about cost of living, about how old it is, you know, what age it is before they can own a home. And so we've got to be very, very careful, I think, as conservatives, that we don't just dismiss her nonsense as being unelectable, but that we fight back and point out these policies, the government taking over things like grocery stores and other industries, have failed time and time again. They're going to fail here. If you're worried about housing, if you're worried about cost of living, if you're worried about your career, Francisco Hong only makes your problems worse.
Governor, what do we sell them then? Because I agree, we need to continue to bring up to them, hey, this sucks. This is going to ruin everything. This is going to make everything worse. That has to be part of the messaging. But then, I mean, inevitably, they're going to look to us and say, okay, what's your solution? How do you make my life better?
Yeah, I think it's dramatically the other way. You know, as much as she's making the case for government to control just about every aspect of her life, we've got to say, you know, they believe in the government. We believe in you. You want housing lower? Let's get rid of all these obsessive permits and restrictions. Make a one size easy level for home builders to come in and build homes and for people to sell homes. If you want to see costs go down, let's drive down government spending. Let's stop all this spending at the federal, state, and local levels. Let's lower the tax burden. Let's keep property taxes down. Let you keep more of your hard-earned money out there. These are things I think they can play. But right now, a lot of Republicans are kind of haphazard about this. No, don't just say things are much better than they were. They are better than they were under Biden, but they're not good enough for many of these younger voters who legitimately are worried about the future.
Wisconsin, it's always thought of as a swing state, and of course it is a swing state. Is it trending the right direction or the wrong direction? I mean, as you pointed out, it's still a Democrat primary. We don't want to make this woman governor yet, but obviously we're concerned. I dearly love the state, and I would really like to not see it go that way.
Well, it went the right way 2 years ago with President Trump. It went the wrong way, albeit each instance very close, 4 years early with Biden. It went the right way 4 years before that with Donald Trump. It has elected me 3 times, but same with Tammy Baldwin, one of the most liberal members of the United States Senate. So there's about 10 to 15% of the electorate that can go, you know, a swing vote in almost every election, which ironically, you mentioned I lead Young Americas Foundation. We find not only in Wisconsin, but nationwide, younger voters are very much like swing voters in states like Wisconsin and Michigan and elsewhere, is they tend to follow their feelings more than just the facts. And so we've got to match not only the facts, but match them with the emotion of pointing out just how these ideas have failed, the democratic socialist ideas have failed. no matter how many times you say you're taking on the establishment, they are the establishment. They're the government. They're the ones that want to control every aspect of your life. And that's how someone who, you know, came from a backbencher in the state assembly, someone who was a cook who ran her business to the ground because she couldn't afford to keep it running with the wages they had. That's the kind of person that's ahead in the primary, because there's that sentiment out there. We've got to counter that with both the facts, but also match it with some emotion, which is, I think, the key. As conservatives, all too often we think and talk with their head. They think and talk with their heart. We got to think with our head, but talk in ways that come from the heart.
Governor, sadly, this is not a Wisconsin problem. This is a problem in the United States of America. These DSA candidates, we saw what happened in Michigan last night. It doesn't appear that you can be too far left or too radical in the Democrat Party. And for those of us who understand history, we understand that that's a bad sign, right? They're growing. They are growing. They are rabid. Is there anything we can do to stop that?
Yeah, and this starts way before elections. It starts for the next cycle already. That's why we do the work we do at Young America's Foundation, but elsewhere. It's overwhelmingly driven by younger people. And that is, tell the story. Tell people why you love America. Tell how you succeeded in America. If you started a small business, tell people about that. There's far too many people who think everything's stacked against them, that somehow corporations and capitalism are bad. The reality is, most of us who are conservative are not about big things. We're not about big government or obviously big labor, but we're also not about big business or big tech. We're about the little guy. We got to show them the people fighting for the little guy, not just in elections, but every day are rock solid conservatives who just want the government to get out of your way and let you live your life, pursue your dreams, and move forward. And that, again, has got to start not only in college. It's why we do programs in high school, middle school. In fact, we've got 1,000 kids joining us at Mount Vernon, college kids from all across the country. We're going to train and equip to go back not only to their campuses, but online and in their communities and make the difference.
Governor, do you have resources for people watching right now, young or old? Hey, what can they get their hands on to make a difference? And I ask the question because my emails are full every day of, Jesse, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? Normal people who aren't Governor Scott Walker, they want to do something too, right? What can they do?
Yeah, yf.org. If you go into YouTube, which is where YouTube is where young people live, YAFTV. I said, we put all the speeches we bring on campus up there. And the best part isn't just the talk. It's the Q&A. It's the what they don't see in the classroom. It's the passion there. Pass that on to a young person. If you don't know what to say to them, tell them, hey, look at this clip. Watch this speech. Listen to the Q&A. The other thing is, you know, go on our website, yf.org. We have all sorts of materials that we can give people about, you know, just three simple reasons why we love America. Three simple reasons why we love the Declaration of Independence. Things like Daniel DiMartino, one of our guest speakers, came from Venezuela, and he talks not only about economics, but how democratic socialism, literally democratic socialism, ruined that once prosperous country. Those are things you can give right to young people, both in video form, but also hand copies that you give the folks and fight back.
Governor, appreciate you very much. Keep getting them. Resources, we have them. You know, let's dig in. Do what we can do. I know one thing we can do. We can stop funding big wireless. I know that. I know that we don't have to pay the big wireless companies to crap on our country with our money. That's something everybody can do. All you have to do is switch to PureTalk, the company that's led by a Vietnam veteran. The company, by the way, fraction of the cost of the big guys. They're on the same network. I'm not asking you to start dropping calls. Hello. Just asking you to put your money where your morals are and less of it. More money in your pocket. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. Make the switch. We'll be back. I know you're frustrated with the judges. I'm frustrated with the judges. We watch them throwing, you know, sand in the gears every single chance we try to do something. It's a frustration. For instance, temporary protected status for hundreds of thousands of Haitians. The Trump administration correctly said, okay, it's been a long time. Time to go home. We're all happy about it. An Obama-appointed judge steps in and says, no. Not so fast. That's a problem. Joining me now, great congressman from the state of Tennessee, Congressman Andy Ogles. Congressman, can you help me understand something? Because I understood the Supreme Court said, hey, you can't do this anymore, at least to some extent. but they're still doing this. What is happening?
Well, I mean, to your point, you know, Mullen versus Doe, a Supreme Court case just from a couple weeks ago, the court stated that the president can end TPS or temporary protected status. And so now we have a judge who's not an impartial judge, but rather an activist, which is why I have introduced articles of impeachment. Look, our founding fathers warned us against a too powerful judiciary. And now what you have is judges trying to be members of Congress in that they're legislating from the bench. Look, this judge is in defiance of the law and is defiance of the Supreme Court and should be impeached, which is why I introduced the articles.
And I'm glad you did. Can you break it down for us? Because I'm not under the impression we're going to be able to actually impeach yet, but I hope we get to that point somewhere. What do the numbers have to be? What does it take to find this activist judge and say, go to unemployment?
Yeah, well, so to your point, I think it's unlikely that this will be brought to the floor. But what it does allow is for when you introduce the articles of impeachment, you have to justify the articles. You have to lay out the case for why this judge should be impeached. So what it does, it allows us to build that case, present it to the American people so they truly understand what these judges are doing. They are defying the Supreme Court. They're defying the law. They're choosing Somalians or Haitians over Americans. And look, it's America first. It's Americans first. You know, we have veterans who are killing themselves at a rate of 20 to 22 a day. We have third graders that can't read, write, or do arithmetic. And oh, by the way, the key indicator of whether or not you're going to prison is that you can read by the time you exit the third grade. And so we need to get right this ship. We need to call out these judges. And look, a simple majority in the House, it goes over to the Senate where you need 2/3. That's not going to happen, let's be honest, because the Senate can't even pass the Save America Act, which has, 83% approval rating against all demographics, Republican, Democrats, black, white, brown, yellow. I mean, they're asleep at the wheel, and our country is in crisis, which is why I'm fed up, why I'm calling out John Thune for not doing his job, and why I'm impeaching or trying to impeach this judge.
Congressman, can you help me merge these two things that are true? Because you just pointed out everybody wants to save America. Well, not everybody. 80-20 issues are rare, though. That's an 80-20 issue. So 80-20 issue in our favor. We can't get it passed. For people like me who like living in a constitutional republic, how do you square that circle? Everybody wants it. They won't do it.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Right. I mean, I get it. So, I'm Pitbull. I'm hardcore on immigration, where we have to shut down the border. We have to stop this invasion, these mass migrations into our country. We can learn the lessons from London, from Paris, from Rome. What happens if you don't choose, filter, quite frankly, who's coming into your country? And so I understand why that might be controversial. I understand that some people might not like my approach. But when you have the Save America Act, which is about securing our elections, that has, again, a CNN poll, not the bastion of conservatism, it's 83% approval. That's Republicans, Democrats, and independents. So even a Democrat can go back to their district and campaign and tell their constituents, like, I heard what you said. I'm doing the job that you've asked me to do. John Thune has no excuse but to put this on the floor. And if he's not willing to do it, if he's not willing to lead in the Senate, it's time for him to step aside and let someone like Mike Lee or Rick Scott do the job. Because you know what? They'll put it on the floor.
Why won't he do it? Look, even if you're more of a more moderate than you, you know what I mean? Even if you're a little bit squishier than you are, or I am, that's whatever it is, what it is. But you have to see the writing on the wall and see that with the Save America Act, more Republicans will get elected. Democrats have admitted this, that more Republicans will get elected if you have to show ID to vote. Why won't Thune do it?
Well, you can look at some of the work that Scott Pressler is doing, where he's finding the fraud and the individuals on the voter rolls that shouldn't be there. I mean, literally, there are tens of thousands, city by city, that are being purged by the rolls because of the work he's doing. So we know that the Democrats are lying, they're cheating, they're stealing, they're trying to impact elections. There's no excuse for this whatsoever. And again, going back to the poll I mentioned, even Democrats, independents, look, most people are squishier than I am. Understand that. But even Democrats and independents want this passed. So there is no excuse. There's no reason why you have to protect any members. Those are the words of John Thune, from having to vote on this. if they want to vote no on the Save America Act, they should have to go back home and explain it to their constituents. They ran for the job, now do the job. The American people have spoken. It's an 80-20 issue. They want secure elections. Get it done, Mr. Thune, or Leader Thune.
I'm not surprised you are facing a primary, but can you tell us why someone like you would be facing a primary?
Well, you know, I'm close to the president. I do have the benefit of being endorsed by the president. But look, I'm outspoken. And so you literally have a billionaire out of California, someone who spent $10, $15 million supporting Kamala Harris. So again, a liberal who has poured $2 million against me because I'm a fighter. I'm a leader of the conservative movement. I'm someone who speaks in lockstep with the president on these conservative issues of fighting for our republic and our country and America first. And they don't like that. And they literally, in their own words, said they're going to try to make an example out of me. And they're spending millions of dollars against me to try to unseat me. But look, I do expect a victory tomorrow night. We've been working hard. Obviously, I have a job to do. So I've had to travel back and forth between here in Washington, D.C. But, you know, I was just in Northwest Tennessee and we had good traction on the ground. People are excited. And like I said, you know, it's in God's hands, but go vote. And, you know, I appreciate the support.
Tell me Tennessee is not going to ever trend. Well, I guess I can't ask you to predict the future of forever, but tell me it's not trending blue because I mean, I learned to swim in Tennessee. I've caught a lot of bass down in Tennessee. tell me Tennessee is going to be just fine.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, one, Tennessee is trending redder and redder, more conservative. You know, when you look at some of the outspoken conservative voices in Congress, one of those is mine. Another one would be Tim Burchett, Diana Harshbarger up in Upper East Tennessee. And so Tennessee is electing conservative leaders. And so now, do we have blue cities like Memphis, like Nashville? Absolutely. But those are small microcosms in a very red state. And so I would say we're actually trending more conservative. And when I talk to people from, say, California or New Jersey that move to a state like Tennessee, they're moving here because they're political refugees. They know what it's like to live in a liberal state, and they want to live in a conservative state, which is Tennessee. And another two great states that they moved to would be Texas and Florida. But when you look at the South, when you look at those destination states, Tennessee is certainly at the top of the list.
Congressman, go get them, and good luck to you. Riley Gaines talks to us next.
On that same vein, in that story with ESPN, you talked about wanting to protect young girls who shouldn't have to go against biological men. Just can you expand your viewpoint on that?
I mean, I think I said what I said. I think it's kind of common sense. And I think I'll always believe in that. I think it's really important to protect children. And that's little girls who are also involved in that category. And so I stand on what I said, and I always believe that.
It's so wild how that's a right-wing position now. What a world we live in. Joining me now, somebody who's had to experience all this crazy tranny lunacy, is Riley Gaines, host of the wonderful Riley Gaines Show. Riley, I know I'm old and bald and gray, but it's just so insane to me that this is a right-wing position now, that dudes shouldn't beat up on women in sports, including in basketball.
You know, old and bald and gray is exactly who the WNBA is trying to recruit. So if this doesn't work out for you, I'm sure they can like draft you off a contract right now, Jesse. It is so wild to me. Like it's been wild since its inception. Of course, the issue of men and women's sports, believing that men can get pregnant or that tampons belong in boys' bathrooms or that women need prostate exams. Like obviously that's been insane since the issue's inception. But the fact that we are still in the year 2026, having to fight an entire political party and virtually all of left-wing mainstream media, including liberal sports media, which happens to be, I think, the most insufferable arm of left-wing media, it is beyond me. I can't for the life of me understand why this is the hill that they're willing to die on. But time and time and time again, they prove that it is. I will say Sophie Cunningham, she's just unshakable. She's unwavering, and I think that makes her uncancelable. And the left doesn't really know what to do with that. I think for so long they've been able to like bully people bully Hollywood and actors and corporations and businesses, bully them into fitting into their narrow-minded positions, not allowing them to step outside of the box. Well, Sophie Cunningham says, look, I said what I said. And I think that's a really powerful thing. It's that sort of confidence and courage that she exudes. I think it's contagious. I really do. And so I think we're going to see more women. We just saw Sabalenka say the same thing, the number one tennis player in the entire world, say, look, she even actually took it a step further and said, I want sex verification testing done. I want you to test if I have to compete against men, and I will prove that I'm a woman. I guess I'll offer up that. So hopefully we see even more of it.
Riley, I actually want to nail down on this sports media thing, because honestly, part of the reason athletes talk about this stuff so much is that's the questions being asked. They're not asked about balls and strikes and everything else. They sit down and you have some freak who works for Sports Illustrated asking you about trannies and crap like that. How did that happen? Like, I guess I have this stupid old mentality of that's what you do if you fail at sports, but you still love sports. You go turn into a sports journalist. But it seems like these people actually hate the sport they cover.
Yeah, I think you're spot on, actually, in saying they hate the sport and they've likely never even played the sport, especially those covering the WNBA. It does happen to oftentimes be like obese, disgruntled lesbians. I don't know, like, that tends to be a theme, I think. And they are, that it's the questions that they're asking, they have nothing to do with their skill set or the ability or their success on the court or the dynamic of the team. It has nothing to do with that. It seems as if these people aren't journalists, they're activists. And again, it's because that's the precedent that's been set. Even look at corporations, not to keep drawing it back to that, but we should have learned that the American people are really sick and tired of this when Bud Light decided to put a man dressed as like Audrey Hepburn in a bathtub drinking a beer. Like, I didn't study marketing in school, but even I know that would be a horrible marketing tactic, as I think I can understand who Bud Light's audience or base would be. And it's no one that would necessarily like that. Well, guess what? They lost essentially $27 billion overnight, and their next commercial was a big burly man on a motorcycle with a camo can. So I don't know why these, I think especially left-wing sports media, why they're not catching on. We've had enough. It's tired. Just ask Caitlin Clark. Don't ask her if she stands with Sophie. I think that was honestly a bit ridiculous when Caitlin Clark was pressed on this. We can't volunteer her for this position. I know what I would do. I'm super proud of Sophie for doing it. We can't make Caitlin Clark do it. She's there to play basketball. So that's kind of my mindset there.
How much of this comes down to being ugly? I mean, it's hard not to notice that the most outspoken voices, female voices for women's sports, they're all hot. And the ones who are loudly parroting all the commie positions, they're all haggard, and it's terrible to look at. And I hate to make the connection, but I'm rude anyway. It's hard not to see it.
Yeah, you know what? I think there is a lot of insecurity. I think that's what a lot of this boils down to, is these people are insecure with themselves. But look at Sophie. Again, she's the exact opposite. She's confident, not just in her stance, but in her ability. Again, you watch her on the court. She's a confident player. She's a confident person. She even said it in that clip you showed. She said, look, I don't think I'll ever change my mind. And they don't know what to do with that. So they just like implode, they combust, they just like turn into like fire and ashes, because they can't handle a woman who exudes the confidence that people like Sophie Cunningham have. And not to mention, yeah, she's beautiful, like the blonde, she's very tan and leggy, and they hate that. They hate her for that. Yeah, because she doesn't fit in their like queer box, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, a lot of insecurity and a lot of jealousy. And you see that oftentimes with women. I hate that it's a stereotype, but it's a stereotype because it's true. You look at the WNBA and you compare it to that of the NBA, it makes sense why they subsidize like $20 to $40 million every single year from the NBA, because it's the worst run, worst marketed league in history. And it's because it's ran largely by women.
She certainly doesn't fit in their queer box. Speaking of which, you went to a Sophie Cunningham event, and this is pretty much the norm for you. You, of course, got accosted. Here's how that went.
Trans women! Protect 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 trans women!
protect trans women.
How did that go?
They always have the bullhorn. They always have the bullhorn. And I think it's because they know their stupid slogans like trans women are women. When you think about it, when you actually allow yourself to use your brain, which isn't common practice for the other side, if you use your brain for more than 3 seconds, then you know that slogan makes absolutely no sense. That's like me just declaring like, hot dogs are dogs. Like, what? It doesn't even make sense. So they use the bullhorn to amplify whatever their stupid message of the day is. It's common practice at these protests. They claim to be the party of love and tolerance and inclusion. And you know, they're very accepting and welcoming, and they embrace diversity. Let me tell you, these are the least diverse group of people, certainly in terms of thought. They don't embrace diverse thought, and they're not loving. Oftentimes the people who, you know, hold the signs like no hate here are the most hateful people you will ever encounter. And if you're insufferable enough to have one of those signs outside of your home, that would be like, if I saw that sign outside of someone's home, I would know to never approach them and ask for anything, because generally they're hate-filled people, really.
Riley, hang in there. I appreciate it. We got Light in the Mood next. All right, it's time to lighten the mood. And look, I have personally, I've really enjoyed Democrats always attempting to try to woo some men back in. You know, they hate men. The platform of the Democrat Party is men suck, men are evil, all these other things. And so men have fled the Democrat Party. Some have gone Republican, some have just checked out, but they fled the Democrat Party. Men hate Democrats. Especially if your T levels are high, you hate Democrats. So the result of that is a bunch of effeminate Democrats have repeatedly tried to do things that they think, you know, guys do. And it always ends up hilariously bad. Remember when Tim Walz, he was trying to get some men back for Kamala Harris because no guy wanted Kamala Harris to be president. And they sent him out pheasant hunting and he's struggling, loading up the shotgun. It was great. Well, James Tallarico, Bottom is his name. He's the Democrat running to be a senator in Texas. He's a little fruity. We're all pretty sure he's a vegetarian, even though he lies about it. He found a girlfriend right when he started running for Senate. And now, here he is handling a torch for what is clearly the first time.
Not bad for a politician.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.